Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, People, Power, and Profits: Progressive Capitalism for an Age of Discontent, is a nonfiction economics and political economy book by Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph E. Stiglitz. It argues that the American version of capitalism has been shaped by weak competition, excessive corporate power, financial deregulation, and political capture, producing slower growth, rising inequality, and diminished opportunity for most people. Rather than rejecting markets, Stiglitz proposes progressive capitalism, a framework that keeps the benefits of markets and entrepreneurship while restoring balance through regulation, public investment, antitrust enforcement, stronger labor institutions, and a more active democratic state. The book is both critique and policy agenda. It connects economic inequality to political inequality and shows how institutional rules shape who gains from growth. Its purpose is to explain what went wrong in the US economy and how a fairer, more productive system could be built. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why Stiglitz says American capitalism stopped delivering broad prosperity. A central argument of the book is that modern American capitalism no longer reliably raises living standards for most people. Stiglitz does not claim that markets are inherently useless. Instead, he argues that markets have been allowed to dominate areas where they work poorly, especially when competition is weak and large firms can shape rules to their advantage. In that setting, growth can continue while wages stagnate, insecurity increases, and gains flow disproportionately to owners, executives, and financial actors. The book treats this as a structural failure rather than a temporary downturn. It also links economic disappointment to social frustration, showing how communities experience the system not as opportunity but as exclusion. This helps explain the book's title, Power and Profits Are Connected, and when power is concentrated, profits often become detached from productive contribution. The result is an economy that can look strong in aggregate terms while failing at the level that matters most to ordinary households. Secondly, wealth creation versus wealth extraction as the book's core analytical divide. One of the book's most useful distinctions is between wealth creation and wealth extraction. Wealth creation refers to activities that expand the economic pie: innovation, learning, productive investment, scientific progress, and new technologies that raise capacity across society. Wealth extraction refers to activities that let individuals or firms take a larger share of the pie without making it larger, such as monopoly behavior, rent seeking, financial manipulation, and rules designed to protect incumbents. Stiglitz uses this distinction to show why some highly profitable sectors may still contribute little to social welfare. A company can be commercially successful while reducing competition, limiting wages, or steering regulation in its favor. This framework shifts the debate away from a simple praise or condemnation of business and toward a question of social contribution. It also explains why the book gives so much attention to sectors like finance and large technology platforms, where power can be converted into profit through market dominance rather than productive excellence. Thirdly, how politics, money, and corporate influence reinforce inequality. The book insists that economics and politics cannot be separated. Stiglitz argues that economic inequality feeds political inequality because wealth buys access, lobbying power, media influence, and policy influence. Once powerful firms and wealthy individuals shape the rules, they can weaken regulation, reduce taxes on capital, and preserve monopolies or oligopolies. That in turn deepens inequality further, creating a self-reinforcing cycle. This is why the book treats democracy as part of the economic problem, not merely a background condition. If policymaking is captured, then reforms that would broaden opportunity are harder to enact, even when they are economically sensible. Stiglitz's argument is that the United States did not simply drift into inequality by accident. Institutions, incentives, and political choices all helped produce it. This makes the book more than a critique of market outcomes. It is an account of how power operates through legislation, regulation, and public narratives to shape whose interests count as economic common sense. Fourthly, the policy architecture of progressive capitalism: regulation, antitrust, labor, and public investment. Progressive capitalism is Stiglitz's constructive alternative to the current order. It is not a rejection of capitalism, but a redesign of its rules so markets serve wider social goals. The policy package includes stronger antitrust enforcement to preserve competition, tighter financial regulation to reduce instability and abuse, and support for countervailing powers, such as unions that can balance employer dominance. It also emphasizes public investment in education, technology, infrastructure, health, and green development because private markets underinvest in goods with broad social returns. Another recurring idea is predistribution shaping market outcomes before inequality becomes extreme, rather than relying only on taxes and transfers afterward. This approach matters because it sees distribution as something embedded in institutions, not just an after-the-fact correction. The book's policy logic is cumulative when competition improves, workers gain leverage, innovation becomes more socially useful, and growth is more likely to be shared. The goal is a capitalism that preserves incentives but removes the institutional favoritism that currently distorts them. Lastly, why the book frames environmental sustainability and human capability as economic issues, Stiglitz broadens the meaning of economic success beyond GDP and corporate profits. In his framework, a healthy economy must also be compatible with environmental limits and with the development of human capabilities. That is why the book gives serious attention to green infrastructure, environmental regulation, and public goods that help people live secure and dignified lives. Environmental damage is treated not as a side issue, but as evidence that current capitalism fails to account for long-term social costs. Similarly, investments in education, healthcare, housing, and retirement security are presented as economic infrastructure because they enable participation, productivity, and stability. This perspective distinguishes the book from narrowly fiscal or market-oriented critiques. It argues that a good economy is one that expands freedom and resilience, not just output. By linking ecology, opportunity, and institutional design, the book suggests that capitalism should be judged by how well it supports flourishing over time. That makes its reform agenda both economic and ethical, aimed at restoring legitimacy as well as efficiency. In conclusion, People, Power, and Profits will be most valuable to readers interested in inequality, political economy, public policy, and the future of capitalism. Policymakers, economists, students, business readers, and general readers concerned about stagnant wages or corporate concentration will find a clear argument for why the current system produces weak shared prosperity. Its practical value lies in the way it connects diagnosis to reform antitrust, labor power, financial regulation, public investment, and democratic accountability are presented as parts of one coherent agenda rather than isolated fixes. The book also helps readers understand why economic debates are often political debates in disguise. Compared with many similar works about inequality, it stands out because Stiglitz is not simply criticizing capitalism from the outside. He is arguing for a revised capitalism that keeps markets but changes the rules that govern them. That balance makes the book especially useful for readers who want a serious reform program rather than a purely celebratory or purely abolitionist view of markets. It is a strong choice for anyone seeking a rigorous, policy-oriented account of how to rebuild broad-based prosperity. If you would like to support Joseph E. Stiglitz, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.